Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Florentine Opera kicks off its fall season in a decidedly lighthearted mood. Franz Lehár's operetta The Merry Widow premiered in Vienna in 1905 and has since then been wildly popular on stages across the world.
The story concerns a wealthy widow, a series of misunderstandings between her and a long-lost love, and attempts to hang on to her money by marrying her to the right man. All of it is mixed with delicious dialogue and music.
We're joined now in the studio by Florentine's artistic director Bill Florescu, tenor Rodel Roselle, baritone Corey McKern, and soprano Allison Cambridge, who says that she welcomes the opportunity to play the Merry Widow herself, Hannah.
It's nice because I often play rather tragic characters who die at the end of the opera, and in my real life, I have a sense of humor and I like to have fun, and so it's nice to get to do an opera role where I get to have a lot of fun on stage.
Well, and sing some beautiful music, too.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's some delicious, delicious singing for all of you, actually. You all get some really wonderful stuff to do. I always think of The Merry Widow as sort of an operatic farce, because there's almost like there's all this, if you had doors, you'd be like changing and going and things would be, and the wrong people would come up and so it gives you such a great opportunity for stage business as well as terrific singing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those pieces that really set the stage for the formula for early musical theater in America, which is, you know, the leading romantic couple, the soubrette couple, the ingenues, and then the comic relief. And basically they exist in this show as a real prototype for what, and that's why the show was so popular not only in Europe but also on Broadway in the early incarnation of what we know today as Broadway.
Well, so. It's the leading couple who don't like each other. Or think they don't. Right.
Of course they do.
Yes. Yeah. And everything
spoiler
happens.
Alert. Yeah,
spoiler alert. They actually, you know, and Rodel, you get the comic relief part.
Yeah, it's very interesting because we just did dialogues yesterday, and this is actually my very first time doing a role where it's 90% dialogue and 10% singing. So it's pretty much an acting role with one song. And I had a lot of ideas on how to portray this, but I always had to wait how the other person is doing it. Because I've come up with three different ways of portraying my character. But it's a good thing I knew from last night's dialogue rehearsal that, Baron Zeta is actually doing it that way. So I have to make sure that we were talking about it last night with a colleague. Sometimes you don't want to match someone, you have to complement it. So you can't be, if you're doing two exact same characters, the audience is going to get tired. So I have to make sure that I complement that with a different way of doing it so that his comedy and my comedy actually work together. So it's the most challenging role I have to do comically. So it's new, and it's at first when I got it, this is nerve-wracking because I do most of, you know, it's like a blank slate and I have to come up with anything. I cannot hide behind the music. So as a singer, at least for theater, it's nice when you have that music as clothing. So basically you take off that tarp of music and then suddenly, how do I do this? It's all about timing. There's silence going on. And yeah, you know, it's very tricky. So I'm actually excited. And we'll see. I think it's going to be a great show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, though, that I always think of comedy as being very musical because of the requirement of timing, of good timing? And it's not necessarily that if you're a good musician, you're a good comic, but the two of them talk to each other in an interesting sort of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. With comedy, the beats have to land almost in a musical fashion. You have to set them up in a way that the audience takes in the punchline. So the way a phrase builds musically, so the comedy builds over the dialogue. And I think it's very applicable, the comparison.
So, Rodel, what were the three different ways, briefly, that you were thinking about?
Well, these were the, you know, I actually had to do a, worked with a friend of mine who's an actor in Chicago. And we just ran lines, but he gave me a little bit of ideas about, you know, where it's set. Do I do a Viennese accent? But then my character travels a lot. You know, when you travel a lot, like that one character in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who just depends on where she is. She's going to have, you know exactly what
I
mean.
Exactly.
Dorit.
Dorit.
Yes. It's like she has like far different accent. So basically, depending on where the person is, like for me, my character or who I'm talking to, I get to do different accents or I can do it. Now, with this character, there's dialogues that are done aside or sometimes by himself with no one else around. So I get to bring all these different accents.
Right.
Basically, when I came up with three, it's all this kind, all of this, and then all of this. So what I did when we did the dialogue yesterday is I tried to combine all three instead of just sticking with one. Because reacting to how Baron Zeta's character is.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, Corey and Allison, are you doing similar kinds of things to figure out who? I mean, your characters aren't quite as changeable as his is, but
yeah, I would say I look at Donnie Lowe's like your modern day reality character. I mean, he could be a character on the Kardashians. He's a playboy, sort of comes from an upper class family, but is likes to socialize, shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of this soldier guy that also does not like to sit behind a desk, likes to go out and party at night, mm-hmm. has this lost love who he's trying to get back. It's a little more straightforward. Niegush Rodel's character is much more nuanced in a sense, character wise, but Donilo and Hannah, I would say.
They're more of the straight characters, but within that, I think there you can find actually quite a bit of humor, and you can do so much just with subtle reading of a line or a look or a glance, whereas some of the other characters are much more over the top. And I think just when we were reading through the dialogue yesterday, we were already finding that dynamic. I think Hannah carries herself in a certain way with poise and elegance, but she has a lot of sass to her and a sort of cunningness and yeah.
And
so there's a nice play between her and Donnie Lowe.
And Allison and I have been friends for a long time, and she's very funny. She doesn't, she doesn't play that a lot, I assume, but she's right. In real life, she's funny, and we have a really good relationship, so it's going to be fun working with each other.
She also must be enjoying the attention.
Hannah?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, I think to go back to what Rodel was saying and about how being like you could be on a reality television show, there is a little bit of that,
The Bachelor.
Yeah. I mean, she's this former, this peasant girl who's made good. She's wealthy. She's living the life now. And yeah, I think she absolutely loves the attention, but she wants the attention of one certain guy in particular.
Right.
It's nice to know that our artists are plumbing the depths of great literature for their inspiration. The Kardashians and the Real Housewives.
And the Real Housewives.
Real Housewives. And the Bachelor. And the Bachelor.
Yeah.
I think I was going to say, the Real Housewives would make a very good opera.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you should all write it and do it.
Okay. I'm on it.
We talk.
I know some people. I know some people behind the scenes. I'll get on it.
Get on that.
Jerry Springer was very popular in London when they turned it into an opera. And I think that it's actually been done in this country, too.
The one that I wish, actually in terms of reality, but the one that I wished we were able to see here was the Anna Nicole Smith one. Mm-hmm. Because that one, I heard part of it. It was just, you don't expect music to be that actually good. But, hopefully one of these days we'll have a reality show opera.
So I'm expecting the big wigs and the nails and everything.
Okay. Yes. table flipping.
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry, Corey, I interrupted.
No, there is what I was going to say earlier about Merry Widow. These are very simple, common themes. Old lovers reuniting, that's something everyone can relate to. And honestly, these amazing shows we're talking about, The Bachelor and all these are just modern-day soap operas. People identify with these types of relationships, and unfortunately, it's come to this reality TV. So we'll call this reality opera.
Reality operetta with better music.
Correct.
Yeah.
Much better music.
Much better score.
Even though it's set, when you see when people see the opera and then they're going to see it's set in a certain period, especially in Act Two where we have all these costumes, because of the freedom of the accents being just like American accents or some of them have over-the-top accents, in this day and age, that's pretty much how everyone sounds like in the streets. So it's actually much more relatable when they listen to it, even though they see the costumes. Oh, they're in tuxes, they're in nice ball gowns and everything. It's actually more relatable when they start hearing the dialogue and they start hearing the music. They're, oh, okay, it's not as foreign as they will. So that's something that the audience should expect, is it's more relatable than it would sound when somebody says, oh, it's an operetta, it's, you know, it's classical. It's like, oh, they'd be surprised.
We've been talking about it and haven't really said operetta. There is a more spoken dialogue. I mean, an opera is through sung, and this is much more set piece dialogue. Set piece, is that right?
Right, but this operetta in particular is got a lot of dialogue, more than Fledermaus, more than Flute, which is an opera with spoken dialogue. And part of it, and I thought about, should I cut it down? But the problem is the plot twist, you actually need it. And we have the people to deliver it. But Flute, you can trim the dialogue a lot. But it's at least half and half in terms of music and dialogue.
I'm actually glad that there's minor characters, though, husbands and wives, who get to speak out, in the scenes. And it's nice because for those smaller roles, even though they come in or they say their lines and it's very short, the audience will actually get an idea of what their character is. Like, oh, okay, you did stand out. I remember you from this. That's why. Even though it's a longer script, the dialogues, those little things, that happen, they're actually very important to the people who are portraying the character. So at least they don't disappear or become invisible in the opera.
Right, get
so,
washed over by exactly. the music or, right. Something right. else going on. Right. Yeah. How is it you two working together again?
It's
great.
Great. It's awesome. I mean... When was the last thing we did together? Was it that holiday concert?
We did
concert?
A lovely holiday concert in my hometown of Birmingham, Alabama, which was quite fun.
Mm-hmm. What was the last thing? We did Bohème.
Actually, the first thing we did together was
Bohème,
right?
Yes.
Because I know we talked then.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah. And then I know you were talking about doing some other things. Maybe that holiday concert was one of them. So it is good to be back together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Part of the great thing about this business is the longer you're in it, the more and you enjoy your colleagues that you haven't seen in a while. That becomes one of the most enjoyable aspects. You know, working – this is a really wonderful company, the way they treat you, where they put you. Mm-hmm. Bill always brings in wonderful people as well as artists. So every time I've been here, it's a really great atmosphere. And that's not always the case.
Right. I always look forward to coming to Florentine. And actually, I didn't even know until the first day when I saw Rodel. I said, oh, my gosh, because he and I have also worked together before. We did the Tales of Hoffman together at the Lyric Opera of Chicago. So, yeah, like Corey said, the longer in this business, the smaller it gets. And so it's always nice to get to work with familiar faces and friends. It makes the job so much better.
And you must hear things in each other too, It's like, oh, you've evolved this way, because you're not singing together all the time.
Right.
So it's like coming together after a year or two and you go, wow, that's either improved or that's changed or something.
Mm-hmm. Especially Allison. I think Allison should be in every cover of Elle, Vogue. I mean, she is the most fashionable opera singer out there. That's not trying.
Except
it's amazing.
Except for Corey and I.
Yes, yes.
But that's the thing about it. I think that's one of the things actually. I've known Allison as well. But when she started the social media with the fashion, it was refreshing because it's current. And the trick about these times is be current. And that's one of the things I like about, at least in that aspect. And it's nice.
The opera world has changed so much, really, in the past, I'd say, 5 years in particular.
Yes.
And Bill can speak to this. Companies are always looking for ways to get new audiences, new people in the seats. And I can say that everybody that I sing with is incredibly talented. They're amazing musicians. Sometimes that's not enough to sell tickets. And so I do believe that it falls often on the shoulders of the artists to promote themselves in other ways outside of just being a good singer and performer, and tapping into what is really current right now. And people are obsessed with fashion and current events and pop culture and all that kind of stuff. And I was very resistant to be on things like Facebook and Instagram. I just didn't want to put my life out there like that. People said, no, people are interested to see what you're doing. And I happen to be really interested in fashion, and I model on the side. And so when I started sharing that stuff on my social media, there was so much more engagement. People were really curious. They're like, oh, this girl who looks nice in this dress, wait, she's an opera singer? Then they click on the link, and then they're like, oh, maybe I should buy a ticket, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you never know how you're going to bring somebody in.
Yeah, as long as you do.
Right.
You know, that's the end goal.
For me, actually, this really happened, but I have to backtrack a little. Two things that I do that I love is karaoke and the hype that is back, which is Pokemon Go. No, I play that. Now, first of all, karaoke. I go to karaoke a lot because I was a pop singer before an opera singer. So I still go there. And sometimes people say after a whole run, people ask me, so what are you going to do? It's after the last show. Oh, I'm going to go karaoke. Why do you need to go karaoke? It's like, because I have to let this show system out of my body and then, you know, like go on to the next one. So I would actually go to karaoke and sing. Now, if you sing, first of all, I don't always sing opera and karaoke. So I have an experience singing karaoke, and then people, after they hear you sing, they ask what you do. They get your info, and then they follow you on Facebook, on Instagram. That's another thing. Now, this is actually the first for Pokemon Go. Actually, you meet a lot of people. In Louisville, I bumped into someone I was actually playing Pokemon Go with, and they said, they looked me up. Oh, yeah, we're going to go to the show. I didn't know. The last show, they texted me and said, we're in the audience. And that's the thing about it. You do what most people are doing right now, however it is, in any kind of platform. These kids were 25 and 27. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they went to the opera specifically to see me because they saw me. Oh, my God, you play. Because they could relate. Wait, an opera singer playing Pokemon Go? I mean, or singing karaoke? They want to make sure that these opera singers are actually as regular
people.
Yeah, they're normal people.
Totally.
So that's how you get, for me, that's how I get some of the audience.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Soprano Allison Cambridge, tenor Rodel Rozelle, and baritone Corey McKern star in the Florentine Opera's production of The Merry Widow. Bill Florescu is the company's artistic director.
The Merry Widow runs this weekend at Eline Hall at the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, and there is a link to more information at WUWM.com.